Alrighty, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, February 25, 2022. Take two transfers and call me from the terminal, Livy. It's time for some Coastal Livid.
Livid?
Livid!
Woo! Coastal Windage is going to be one of those shows. Well, you know, this is an all-business show because we have, you know, 16 hours of content to put into 58 minutes now. So let's get right to it. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastsides live call-in talk radio show. Couple points about that live call-in talk radio. I guess that's three points.
That implies we need some calls.
Yes. So call in, please, 650-560-9851 on any topic you like, including the topics that we may have for the show today, which I'll get to in just a second. This is Coastal Windage on KHMB, your community radio station, 100.9 FM and rocking 1710 AM. Streaming live on khmbradio.com. As I mentioned, I'm Ruben. I'm here with Livy. Good morning,
Good
Livy.
Good morning.
Livy Streetwise, the uplifting Livy Streetwise.
Really?
I have tasked the interns to come up with a new adjective every week that appropriately describes you. This week, it's uplifting, and I totally agree. Okay. If you miss our shows in the morning, you can download podcasts of the past shows by going to khmbradio.com, clicking the show podcast tab. Okay, this is Community's Voice. So let's hear from you, Coastsiders, 650.
Let's hear from you. We've had a lot of good calls the last couple of weeks.
It's been a good run. So let's keep it going. 650-560-9851. Here's our topics for today. We didn't get to it last week. Wherefore art thou dream machines?
Oh,
boy.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Here we go. The public transportation predicament. Be ready for some ranting, I believe, on that one.
Hey.
And here's an interesting thing. The balance of power in the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors is up for grabs this election. Three seats will be open.
Okay.
Out of five. That's the balance of power.
Are there a lot of people running?
We will get to that.
Okay.
In this episode. Okay, and this episode, as all episodes of Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, brought to you by the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Love me some Half Moon Bay Brewing Company.
I was there this Sunday.
I mean,
Saturday.
But
yeah.
You have a booth there. I mean,
with a gold plaque.
We've talked about it. It's like that scene from Goodfellas. When you walk in, they like whisk a new table in and like set it down for you. So like, there's no waiting for the Streetwise family.
Yes, I have the pounds to prove it. I have aioli on my right hip and the French fries on my left.
Yes, so you really can't go wrong. Great menu and a nice selection of beers in a variety of sizes. So that's always nice, too. Okay, so Half Moon Bay Brewing Company, go get some for yourself this weekend. It's great for the weekend. Okay, this is a local show. It's focused on the coast side. We did get a little Clay. We had Clay Lambert, the review editor, on.
Mm-hmm.
And we
great interview.
Yes, and we are busting his chops about having Bay City News Wire stories on there. And he appropriately pointed out that we talked about the Olympics.
It was a big touche moment.
It was. Point taken. Nicely played,
well,
Mr.
Done.
Peanut. Yes, exactly. So, but I have to go to another international thing. We would be remiss.
Yes.
We would be remiss as players in the local media or in media. And
we are players.
Right. And influencers even.
Ooh.
And, you know, and actors in popular culture to go on with our show as if nothing's happening in the world right now. We're on the verge of world war in Ukraine right now. And I think we just need to acknowledge this moment in time. This is a humongous moment. It could get really, really bad. And I'm not just talking about gas prices, which we are already seeing them
here
start
on the
to,
coast.
Start to
yep.
spike. I mean, we're feeling that locally, but it could get a lot worse than this. Americans don't really study their history very well, especially world history. If they did, they would have a much better understanding of what's going on in Ukraine right now. We're not going to get into the nuts and bolts of that, but we just want to acknowledge what's happening. This is a momentous moment in history. For a better understanding of Ukraine's historical, geographical, cultural, and strategic significance, here's a couple of books to put in your reading queue. Napoleon's Russian Campaign by Count Philippe Paul de Seguil.
Wow.
Right. No, that's
well,
that's his name, but I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Anyways, he was an aide-de-camp for Napoleon. when Napoleon foolishly decided that he would take 500,000 troops into Russia, and that didn't end well. And then 19th century Ukrainian author Nikolai Gogol wrote a very interesting short story called Taras Bulba's about 16th century Ukrainian Cossacks. And so it really gives kind of a sense of, like, the psychology of
that. And you have read both
culture.
Of those?
I have read both of those, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I enjoy
very
that
impressed.
Kind of stuff. Okay, well, I mean, don't ask me to do a book report
on
it.
I just get thrilled if I'm able to figure out Wordle by the fourth try. I'm glad you have...
But I can't even figure out how to download the Wordle app, so, you know, there you go.
You definitely represent the academia side of the show.
I like history and politics.
Yeah.
Okay, so air quality report, other stations, whatever, news outlets give you traffic and weather. I mean, come on. That's old news. We need to know about the quality of the air we're breathing. We get this data from purpleair.com. 0 to 50, incredible. 51 to 100, good. Over 100, not good. Today in El Granada, our usual single digits, 8.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, 8 in Half Moon Bay, 13 in Redwood City, 21 in Santa Cruz. And just to make ourselves feel better, I've been picking a town in the Central Valley, right? Last week it was Fresno, which was like up around 150. So today we picked Turlock, which, I think you have to put, whenever you say Turlock, I think you have to say kind of almost sarcastically, beautiful Turlock.
Okay.
Although we did have our guest Lenny Mendonca, who was a live interview guest on the show on May 11th, 2018. That's his hometown, so sorry, Lenny.
I've never been to Turlock.
I have childhood memories of Turlock, and
they are not fond.
They're Turlockian.
Ah,
okay, yes.
Wow.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So it is 99 today in Turlock, which is not, I mean, that's still actually technically in the good range, right? 51 to 100. So, and for the Central Valley, it's pretty good. But if you go up the hill on the Sierra towards Yosemite and Shaver Lake, back up to 17. So you can see, like, that Central Valley just catches all
it's
of
rough.
Stuff. It's
gnarly. I'll take our 8. It might be that we're breathing frozen crystals this morning.
I had to scrape ice off my windshield.
And how did you do that?
Well,
I used my credit card.
I didn't have to. It wasn't that thick, but I
did. Mine was. I tried my windshield wipers. Didn't work.
My windshield wipers are so old and brittle that they are like scrapers.
They were shredded.
They don't work for water, but they'll work for frost. All right. Speaking of guests that we've had on before.
Yes.
We've had Lili Keaton on this show before to talk about her program, Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh,
and I know you wanted to say something about that.
I did. I wanted to speak about that. We're looking at...
Well.
We have a call.
Hold that thought. All right. This is
a listing pro calling about your Google My Business listing.
Oh,
Thank you for calling.
Okay. So, yes, we are looking at March 5th this year for the Say Yes to the Prom Dress giveaway. It's going to be... Go ahead.
So what is this again now?
So they're collecting dresses and jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
They had been collecting shoes.
Haven't they?
In years prior. Let's see. It says accepting clean, gently used or new long formal gowns purchased in the last 10 years, all sizes, and elegant jewelry to match. So I'm not sure that they're doing shoes this year. Lili or Melissa, if you're listening and are able to call in, let us know if shoes can also be dropped off. But it is going to be on Saturday, March 5th, 12 to 4 at the Mariners Church, 100 Stone Pine Road here in Half Moon Bay.
Is that drop-off, or is that where people would come to try
That's
stuff on?
That's where the giveaway is going to be on March 5th. The drop-off locations are at Lili's house. I'm not going to give her address out on the air, but
I know exactly
where
she lives.
You can go to coastsidebuzz.com to look at all of the information, but the drop-off locations are at Lili's home, HMB Pilates on Moss Beach, and Inkspell Books.
Nice.
So I guess you can drop them off anytime before March 5th, I'll say.
And this is a great program that has been dormant for the last couple of years, right? Because there hasn't been any
COVID.
Prom. But Lili and her friends really have done a great thing where they collect these garments.
yeah.
that are very expensive and are pretty much one-use things, and so it's very hard for people to come up with the money or justify the money. And make them available, even do sizing and fitting, and make them available for free
yeah.
for free to anybody who comes in who wants to look really nice for their prom. Or
I have had the opportunity to volunteer a couple of times with this event, and I have to tell you that there are so many quality, beautiful dresses, wonderful jewelry, but mostly... It is so fun to watch the individuals come and try on the dresses and find the one that they look beautiful in, and just feel so happy.
And know that they don't have to look at the price tag and make that decision of, like, I can't get this.
Yes,
one.
And there's no judgment.
Right.
You know, it's just, and the volunteers there are just so happy to help and find the color dress you're looking for, or pantsuits, or even, I believe, fancy pantsuits, that type of thing also.
I mean, this would almost renew my faith in humanity. You know, this kind of program really makes you feel good.
It does.
Know?
It really does.
Almost.
It also, of course, it also puts me in the mood for awards season.
Right, it's February, isn't there?
Yes, the Screen Actors Guild Awards are this Sunday, everyone. I believe it's TBS, but I have my block of cheese and bottle of bubbly ready to go.
Nice. So, are you having a watch party or just...
No. You know what? Either I'm too old or too tired or all of the above, and COVID hasn't helped. So I normally would have a few people over, but I don't know. I'm not going to do it this year. I'm just going to... sit there eating and drinking by myself.
Your block of cheese the size of a car battery.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So anyhow, March 5th, if you're looking for a dress for, your child who is going to the prom, I also think that there's there's another formal event, like a senior.
Spring formal
like
or a, something?
Yeah, something like that. That these dresses can be used for as well. So
great.
Thank you to Lili and Melissa this year for holding this event again.
Say yes to the dress, March 5th.
Prom dress.
Okay,
yeah.
Very nice. So this was Ski Week, which don't press my button. Ski Week, when did this start happening? I mean... The school year seems to start earlier every year and end later. It's Konya starts in like mid-August now, because now we have a week at Thanksgiving. A week at Thanksgiving, it used to be Thursday and Friday. Now we have a week at Thanksgiving, 2 weeks at Christmas, ski week now in February, spring break week, national holidays, short days, teacher professional days. How about some school days?
Humbug.
Well, I mean, this...
Believe me, I want our kids in school too, but... You know, what gets me really rankled is the different times, the different start times to this school.
Well, at least they're starting. I'm rankled with the amount of days that kids are not
not
in school.
In school.
Okay, that really shows our commitment to education, I think. Like ski week, really. I mean, in California, this isn't Colorado or Vermont. Because the irony of this year and many years of Ski Week is
there's no snow.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you, Ski Week has been a thing for, I don't know, at least, I'm going to say a decade.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's a new thing.
You're not surprised by this, are you?
No, but I'm still not.
annoyed.
It's ridiculous. Okay.
Like I said,
this is not Colorado or Vermont. Why are California schools taking a snow week? But... Weather-wise, the visibility on the coast side has been incredible this week. Even though there's been clouds, the visibility is crystal clear. The Farallons look like you could reach them with a disc golf tee shot. You know, from if you're standing at Montera Mountain, you could hit the Shark's Teeth out there with a disc golf disc. All right. Say that fast three times or once.
Okay, or once.
Once got me. So, and you were out there looking at Maverick Surf this morning?
Well, again, as I do, I was reading through Coastside Buzz. Thank you, Michelle Dragony.
Coastal Butterfly.
And there are going to be big swells forecasted for this weekend into next. So Mavericks is going to be hopefully on.
the surf. But haven't they redone it so that it's now it's not like on a certain day anymore?
Correct.
It's just
correct.
A running.
But I do think that this
people
week
will be out
of
there.
Big swells is going to be hopefully advantageous for those surfers to catch some big waves.
Okay, sounds good. Speaking of catching waves, this has nothing to do with that, but I couldn't think of a better segue. So during this ski week, Cunha has taken their 8th grade annual trip to D.C., which they've been doing for over 30 years. Cunha has an incredible... I mean, they have a lot of good teachers, one of whom just I know personally, so I just want to toot this person's horn. Mr. Cox, Mr. Tom Cox, has been at Cunha for 30 years or so, coaches basketball, social studies, and he personally leads this D.C. tour every
year. Wow.
That doesn't mean he's the, like, coordinator and then there's a... He literally has done it for 30 years, and when he gave the presentation to Cunha parents... He said, I know every parking lot, every parking spot, every door to go to. And they do, like, in 4 days, they do like 50 different sites. I mean, I'm not kidding, like 50 sites. Yeah, and if you're talking the Capitol, yes, every one of those. So you might think, oh, Smithsonian, yes. Vietnam Memorial, yes. Arlington Cemetery, yes. They even went out to the Naval Academy this year and saw a college basketball game. So that was pretty cool. Okay, so it was pretty exciting to see the genuine joy and happiness that these kids had at the airport, knowing that they would have 3 or 4 days at a hotel and on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. with their friends, no parents around. And, you know, a trip to the nation's capital is quite meaningful at any age.
But particularly at this age.
Yeah, and when they're middle school is when you start taking social studies and you start learning about U.S. history. And, I mean, the nation's capital is a really incredible place to go.
Yeah.
What about Seacrest? Does Seacrest do a D.C.
Yes, trip? Yes. The class is going at the end of May. End of May to the first couple of days in June, but they'll be there a week. And I'm so excited that they have been kind of cleared to go, that these kids have been able to do these trips this year. I felt so terribly for the eighth graders of the past 2 years that haven't been able to have the middle school dances or the trips or all of that.
Right. I know that some kids at Cunha were like kind of like self quarantining in the few days before the trip because like
they wanted it so badly.
Yeah, not to get that positive test the day before you're supposed to go. Okay, let's get to some emails here. This one's from B Leaves T7. Okay. Interview with Clay Lambert. That's the subject line. Thank you for the interview with Clay Lambert. Maybe he should write a book. It seems like he has lived a very interesting life. I enjoyed his story. I did too.
We all did.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the interview. Really a good guy, and you know, a guy that's fun to get to know because he really is very smart, has had a very interesting life, and you know what? I said it then. I say it again. I think people take Clay for granted because he is a low key person, right? He's not very, you know, he's not out there self promoting. He's not loud, but the Coastside is I want to say like a different word, but they're darn lucky to have Clay as the editor of the hometown paper.
They are. Well, and I also have to say, I was super impressed by the way that not only he listened to your full questions that were...
Which not many people do.
Well,
listen to
me. I mean... I love you, Ruben, but I mean, you definitely were poking the bear a bit on those questions. And you know, he didn't come back in any kind of defensive way, or he super even keel and generous and thoughtful with his responses.
Yep.
So thank you again, Clay, because I thought it was a terrific interview. I thought your questions were really good, and I thought his responses were wonderful. I really appreciated his honesty, his candor,
yeah,
and his patience with us.
Right. Well, exactly.
Always patience.
I mean, a person comfortable in his own skin, and it really comes out in his demeanor. And,
yeah.
Class act. Yep. You can disagree or agree with his editorials, but he's a class act. So thank you for that letter or email, and thank you, Clay, for coming on the show. Okay, I probably shouldn't read this one, but...
I don't know. When you start like that,
I know, but
that makes me
nervous. These names scare me off. Okay, so this one is Jerky Boy, Your Mom. As a mom,
yikes.
Do you get offended by your mom jokes? You know, like, oh, your mom, you know?
A little bit, but, you know, I kind of I like sardonic kind of humor. So.
Okay, well, did you write this one?
Oh.
Did you send this one in?
Well...
Okay,
you're calling me out.
Jerky Boy, Your Mom, and the subject line is, why all the blather? Okay, because we're a talk radio show. No. Jerky Boy, Your Mom writes, we're not... oh, boy. We're not paying you to chit-chat about your childhood. Get to the topics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I clearly didn't write that because talk about that all the time, so that's clearly pointed to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Take that bullet.
It's called banter, Jerky Boy, Your Mom. This is a personality-driven show. Livy and I like to share our stories.
Yes.
I mean, that kind of adds color to it. Otherwise, we're just giving the news,
truly,
I guess.
The only way to interrupt us would be to call during the show. So how about that?
Nice hook. 650-560-9851.
You don't like what you're hearing? Call in.
And I don't need to talk to you about my Google workspace or anything either. So, okay. Here's an email from listener, and I'm going to butcher this. I'm sorry. Kush Dushunda. That's the best I can do. Sorry. Phone call bounty. Oh. I heard that you each receive a bonus for every phone call you get. How much for the emails? I got a lot of time on my hands. Split it with me?
I have no idea.
Okay.
What that person is saying or how they would have gotten that intel.
Here's the part of this email I like. This person writes, I heard that you each receive... They heard about the show. So I don't care what they heard or what they think about it. Somebody's talking about the show somewhere. So
that's good. At least we got talk going.
All publicity is good publicity. We got sweeps coming up next month. So talk about it, Coastsiders. Talk about it amongst yourselves. Give us a call, 650-560-9851. Livy and I need a raise this year. We need those ratings to hit the roof. Come on, give us a call.
Hopefully, Station owner Jim Henderson is listening to this.
Pry open the coin purse and come on, we need a cost of living adjustment here. Okay, we didn't get to this one last time, although I had a little bit of a preamble. Wherefore art thou, Dream Machines? I mentioned that wherefore does not mean where in old English and Shakespearean.
It means
why, and so wherefore art thou? That phrase means, why is it so complicated? Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Why are you so complicated, Romeo? Why do you have to be of Montague or Capulet, whichever one I'm not? I can't keep those two straight. Anyways, so wherefore art thou, Dream Machines? Yes, it's true, Virginia. Pacific Coast Dream Machines annual event at the airport canceled again. This is not new news. This has been out for a couple weeks now. Technically, they're calling it a deferral, so I don't know really what that means. This is a third straight year with no Dream Machines. It's kind of feeling like it's not going to happen anymore. But here's the new twist to this year. Okay, the last 2 years we could blame on COVID, right?
Right.
This year was supposed to happen, right? It was planned. There was posters and advertising, and but it was unexpectedly canceled a couple weeks ago. After the date had been announced and everything had been kind of logistics put into place, which has kind of raised some eyebrows of like...
Was there a reason given?
San Mateo County Airport officials informed organizers that apparently, this is news to them, a significant portion of the airport is being farmed and not available for use. And the farmed area is kind of in the middle of the airport where all the cars would be parked. And there's not enough space left to make it cost effective and yada, yada, yada. But as many people wondered, There's always farming going. How do you not look ahead? And I mean, the Dream Machines is at the airport. There's farming going on there. There's always been those two things.
Yeah.
How is this year somehow different that they couldn't
figure
that out?
Are they farming more of the land?
Well, there's like a, it's like a conspiracy. Like, what is the real reason? And I think I saw on Coastside Buzz that Supervisor Horsley is asking for some study about lead levels at the airport. Shocker, what? Airplanes and jet fuel, and there might be lead. But we're growing stuff there, so that's fine. You know, like, no problem with that.
Yeah.
But so it's unclear what is going on. Is this something fishy or just the usual Coastside snafu? Snafu is an acronym. Anybody know what the acronym is? And be careful if you call in with that, 650-560-9851, because one of those letters stands for a bad word that you can't say on the radio. So
I didn't know it was an acronym.
Yep. Huh. It's I think from World War II.
Really?
Anyway, so we might have some veterans that or some ex-military that would know what that is. Snafu, what does it stand for? Don't say that. Don't say the F word in this in this acronym. Okay, so this would have been the 30th Dream Machines, and it's pretty cool. Whether you like are into old cars or not, just going there and seeing all the different form factors of machines. They got planes, motorcycles, cars, trucks. You know, fun ones that have been totally customized, ones that are stock, ones that you remember from childhood, ones that you wish you had. You know, like, it's pretty cool.
Our boys always liked the the motorcycle jumping that they had.
Yep.
And that was always cool.
I thought the monster truck was pretty cool.
That was cool.
When they put people in the back. Totally. Slurling around the mud. But will it ever be the same? I can remember back in heyday around 2005, 2006, when there'd just be cars backed up in both directions for miles, which I don't know if that's like the good old days or not. Okay, here we go. All right. Good morning. This is Coastal Windage, Ruben and Livy. Who are we talking with this morning?
Penny Packer. I haven't called in a while.
Oh, yeah. Is this your first call this season?
I think I called early last season, but it was the first one this year.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, thanks.
How you doing, Penny?
Yeah.
I'm good. You can't just drop a trivia question like La Matzah Ball hanging out there.
Okay. All right. So which one? I forget. Was this Snafu?
Yeah, snafu.
Okay, be careful, please.
Okay. Situation normal, all fouled up.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yep. Situation normal, comma, which is all fouled up. That's the normal situation. So it's a kind of snarky acronym.
So, okay, acronyms. Aren't you supposed to put periods after? No, you're not.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it would depend on the style guide that you're using for your organization.
Yes.
A clean style is not to have periods. And there's a difference between an acronym and an abbreviation.
Got it.
An acronym is snafu, which is read like a word. An abbreviation is CIA, which is just letters put together.
Okay.
So there is an actual difference there.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, good grammar lesson this morning, people.
There you go, Penny Packer.
Thank you, Penny.
Anything else on your mind?
Nope, just enjoy listening to you guys and miss the coast.
Aww, okay, well, come back soon.
Don't forget to call during sweeps a month next month.
Oh, don't worry, I won't.
We need the
we drop the trivia matzo ball.
We need the bonus money with the calls, okay?
I'll do my best.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Betty Packer.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Great, okay.
Settle yourself in while I tell a tale.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. The public transportation predicament. So last Friday, after the show, so 10 a.m., I roll out of here in my custom vehicle to take it to the shop that I take it to in Hollister, which is about 100 miles south of here, about 100 miles, right? It takes about an hour and a half to get there. And I dropped it off, take it down there to the shop to have it upfitted. I'm currently upfitting it into a kind of a nicer vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take it to the shop, drop it off, and then I need to find a way to get home. So I've had to take it down there a few times. I've kind of used up all my favors with friends and family, and, you know, it's during the week and it's in the middle of the day, so it's kind of hard to get somebody to drive down with you in their car and then drive you back. So, okay, so... on the suggestion of the other dude, the original co-host of this show, I decided, well, I'll rent a car in Hollister and drive it one way back. Okay, so yes, I look up, and yes, I'm going to be mentioning the name of the organization, Enterprise Rent-A-Car in Hollister. I reserved a car a week ahead of time. Got the confirmation slip and the number, paper in hand. So I go down to the shop in Hollister. I drop off my vehicle. I walk about a mile up to the office.
Wow.
Which is closed from 12 to 1. So I cool my jets outside the door till 1 o'clock. Okay. This, remember, I dropped my vehicle off at noon. So now it's 1 o'clock. Door open.
You've already gone above and beyond in my book.
Well,
walking a mile and then waiting an hour? I'd be fuming.
Nah.
Okay. No, you're good. Keep going.
Fuming comes later in the story.
Okay.
So then the gentleman at the counter, I walk up and I say, and he says, yeah, can I help you? I said, I would like to get my car that I reserved. So he taps the keyboard, looks up to me and says, I'm sorry, we have no car. Like he needed to tap the keyboard to like tell me
to
that.
To tell you no?
We have no cars. And so now there's like this awkward moment where we're just looking at each other across
oh
the counter.
God.
Like, and so I say, okay.
Did you see any cars in the lot?
Well, I mean, it's the Enterprise Rent-A-Car office is at the Ford dealer in Hollister,
oh,
so there was lots of cars,
oh,
but I don't know which one, you know.
Yeah.
So we're looking. So then I say, okay, and he's like, and I checked around, and there's no cars within like 30 miles. So again, like a pregnant silence, and I again say, okay, and he's like, but there's probably have some in Salinas or Monterey, so you could drive down there and get one. To which I said, but that's why I'm here, is I need a car. If I had a car to drive to Monterey, I wouldn't need to rent one here right now, right?
This is deja vu of the Seinfeld episode,
oh, so,
by the way.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Keep going.
You know how
okay.
to take the reservation, you just don't know how
yeah.
to hold the reservation.
Hold it.
Isn't that the most important part
yes.
of the reservation?
Yes.
So I said, well, okay. You know, I like felt like I couldn't say anything. I just like, okay. Like, I'm kind of stunned of like, now what?
Oh,
so he's like,
God.
Well, let me check with my boss. Maybe I can get you a voucher for Uber. I don't do Uber or Lyft. I don't want to do it. I could have easily like arranged that ahead of time,
yeah.
right? That's why I'm renting a car in the first place. I don't like to do that. I don't want to do it. But at this point, I was like, I knew it wasn't going to happen. Because
right.
there's no way the manager of the local enterprise is going to, like, cut into his or her margin to give me a free Uber Lyft that's going to cost $120 or something. So I said, yeah, you go ahead and try that. Surprise, not shockingly, he gets off the phone. No, not going to do that. Slides me a business card and says, next time you're here renting a car in Hollister, use this card to get 15% off. To which I picked it up and dropped it right in the trash can.
Oh my God.
So then we're looking at each other across the counter again, and he's like, I don't know what to tell you. And I said, okay, well, I'm sure that this is not your fault. And because I'm sure it wasn't.
You are such a good human
being.
Well,
I'm sure this guy had nothing to do with it. Like, it's Enterprise, I'm looking at you. Enterprise Corporate,
yeah.
I am looking at you. So anyway, so I walk out the door, you know, door hits me on the heels on the way out, and I look around Hollister. Okay, well, now I've got an adventure in front of me. So I go get on my phone, find what is the public bus in Hollister that, how can I get to Caltrain? Because I'm thinking if I could get to Caltrain, okay, so.
Yeah.
But the nearest Caltrain is Gilroy, which is like 15 miles away, and only runs north out of Gilroy at like 5 and 6 in the morning. There's no there's no more trains running north out of Gilroy after like 6 in the morning. So at first I got to get to Gilroy. So I go and look up. Valley Express is the public transportation bus in San Benito County where Hollister is. This is another problem with public transportation here. When you go county to county, you encounter different systems. San Benito County doesn't take Clipper cards, so that makes it difficult. The systems are not integrated, so the times are not matched up. So, okay, so I have to wait now till 3 o'clock to get the one and only County Express bus up to the Gilroy Transportation Center where I can then begin my next leg of the trip.
Does the bus come to the Enterprise
Ford
dealership?
No,
where do you have to walk to?
I walked back to town.
Okay, you're back Back to town.
I walked around town for a while, which was interesting. You know, just like Hollister has some very cool old houses and a couple of interesting shops. So I killed a couple of hours in Hollister. So now it's 3 o'clock. I'm the only person on the bus from Hollister to Gilroy. So we get to Gilroy. I get off that and I get on a VTA bus. Again, I'm the only person on this bus, which is a local from there to the Diderot station in San Jose, the Diderot-Calstead train station. It's a local, so it takes about an hour and a half,
making many
stops. For most of the time, I'm the only person on the bus. A couple people get on and off. So now I get to Diderot station at like, 4:30, and I'm able to get pretty quickly. So now we're getting at least into like civilization. Like it's Caltrain, Diderot station, San Jose. There's several trains. So I get a train up to San Mateo.
Okay.
I get to San Mateo at like 7-ish.
Uh-huh.
I get off at the Hillsdale station because that's where you pick up. From there, you can walk like a mile to pick up the 294, which is the SamTrans bus that runs over the hill from San Mateo to Half Moon Bay. But that only runs every once in a while, so I have an hour and a half to kill at Hillsdale Mall, which I do. So now it's like 8:30.
For the love of God, do you not have a lifeline, like a phone list of people? You could have even called me or Mr. Streetwise if you needed to. We could have come to get you.
At this point, I'm fully in on the adventure of it. How long is this going to take? How complicated? So now I'm killing an hour and a half because the trains and the buses are not integrated and you have to wait long periods of time. So I wait an hour and a half. I get the bus, the 294 over to Half Moon Bay, arrive in Half Moon Bay at 8:36 p.m. Great. Now I just have the shortest, easiest leg. Just take the 17 from Half Moon Bay up to El Granada, boom and boom. Except the 294 last bus drops off at Half Moon Bay, Poplar and Main Street, at 8:36 p.m. The last bus out of town running north, the 17, leaves at 8 p.m.
Oh, no!
For me, was kind of a pain in the butt, but at that point I called Mrs. Truthmaker and she came and got me. But it really makes me upset because if you've got a job busing tables or working at a restaurant or something and you don't get done till 9 or 10 o'clock at night,
what are you going
to
do?
You better have a car because you're not going to be able to ride the bus.
Uh-huh.
And the reason this infuriates me is we talked about this a couple weeks on the show. San Mateo County, their comprehensive transportation management plan. What can we do better? All this like lip service towards public transportation and everything. Commute.org just sent like a mailer a couple weeks ago. What can we do better? Okay, you want to know?
Yeah.
Here's exactly what you can do. You can have more buses. Here's the thing. This will solve the problem. Just like overpasses or underpasses over Highway 1 will solve the problem of safe crossings and not having to have stoplights and stuff and some traffic backup. If we had buses running up and down the coastside every 15 minutes, 24/7, I guarantee you more people would take the bus.
Yep.
When you have to wait an hour and the last bus is at 8 o'clock, and sometimes that bus is full in the mornings, people don't do it. But if that bus ran every 15 minutes and you knew like every 15 minutes a bus is rolling through 24/7, I would never get in my car. Why would I need to? Because there's a bus coming every 15 minutes. But when you have to wait an hour or more, so there's a problem right there. So I got home at 9 p.m. It was a 9-hour odyssey. It was somewhat of an adventure, but it also really highlighted just the lack of commitment to public transit.
The breakdown,
And so I really, it falls on deaf ears to me, that the county or the Bay Area or whatever wants to improve public transportation. California, cut itself, just slashed itself in a civil war about this high-speed rail.
Mm.
Some people, for whatever reason, are against it. And so now it's like some ridiculous vestigial thing that's now planned to run between Fresno and Bakersfield or somewhere, that nobody's ever going to ride, a poison pill. I'm sorry, I don't want to hear about global warming or traffic or anything because nobody has a commitment to public transportation, especially the public agencies. Here's a great example. A couple years ago, Mid-Coast Community Council worked with Supervisor Horsley's office to create a coastside shuttle. a SAMTRANS shuttle that would just run up between Half Moon Bay and the harbor on weekends to try to take away some of the traffic. But in trying to set that up, SAMTRANS put all these objections up that they had to use existing bus stops. They would create no new bus stops, but they couldn't do it in times that would conflict with existing
they
routes.
They put all the obstacles
All these obstacles, and so what do you think the end result was?
Yeah, it stopped.
Nobody wrote it, right? Yeah. But the other thing was...
Well, half the people didn't even know that it existed.
Had to use these existing stops. The main existing stop on the south end of Half Moon Bay is Poplar and Main, which is not close to any hotels or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like these buses were going to the Ritz-Carlton or places where tourists who might want to have the coastal shuttle on the weekends would use it. And so nobody ever rode it, and after a year or so, they discontinued it. That's what I mean by a lack of commitment to public transportation.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes, 24/7, that 17 should be running up and down the coast from Lindemar to Moon Ridge.
Yep.
Okay.
And it would have such a trickle-down effect on local employment. You know, certainly school bus, getting kids to school and home from school, and many of those kids want to or need to work after school also. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You just reminded me of the further part of my rant, which is this is one of the reasons why I'm not down with Uber and Lyft. Like, once again, let's not foist off what should be handled at a high macro level, a government level, public transportation. These systems should be in place, and it's something that should be handled by government, which is there for everybody and doesn't have a profit motive. When you turn it over to the private industry, they will work. They will do things on a profit motive, and the consumer is a downstream concern. And so that's why I don't care what it costs. It can be done 24/7 every 15 minutes. Otherwise, I don't want to hear about traffic or how you can't get anything done or infrastructure, whatever. That would solve a lot of problems.
It would.
All right.
And you even had the luxury of not being under time constraints.
Exactly.
To get home, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you're like, oh, this will be an adventure.
I didn't want to spend my entire Friday, but unfortunately, I didn't have anywhere to go.
You weren't under the gun.
But 9 hours. 9 hours.
Wow.
And I couldn't even... I was prepared to walk from Half Moon Bay to my house.
Yep.
But fortunately, you know, I was able to call somebody. A lot of people can't, and... So that would have added, at least another hour and a half. And so anyway, okay, District 3 candidates. This is important because all politics is local, right? District 3 is our district in the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors. Our supervisor, Don Horsley, is terming out. He's done 3 terms as supervisor. And so there's going to be a new District 3 supervisor. This person is very important to the coastside. Get to know this person. Know who you're going to vote for, because there's 4 candidates who have materialized for this position. District 3, by the way, is the coastside, Portola Valley, Woodside, Atherton, Menlo Park, San Carlos, and Belmont. And if you're not hearing what I'm saying there, that is there's a lot more people on the other side of the hill in those cities, and those are some quite wealthy towns. So that means they have a lot of influence, and this is one of the reasons why things don't happen out here on the coastside. Politically, we are irrelevant. So anyways, you might want to think about who you're going to vote for District 3 supervisor. We've got coastside resident and union leader Stephen Booker, so coastside resident. As far as I could find, I could only find one other kind of coastsider who's ever been on the Board of Supervisors. That was Gene Fassler of Pacifica from 65 to 76. Anyways, Stephen, Half Moon Bay resident, Air Force veteran. He served in the First Gulf War, and he sits on the board of Peninsula Clean
Energy.
Have
we tried to get him on the show?
No, but we talked about him on our April 16th, 2021.
Yeah.
I would love to have him on the show, and I'm going to try to reach out to him.
Nice.
Okay. Then we have San Mateo County Harbor District Commissioner Virginia Chang Karai. She is currently on the Harbor Commission, so she's known to coastsiders here. When she was appointed to the Harbor Commission a few years ago, she was also a sitting Menlo Park council person, and I'm pretty sure this was a violation of statute. You're not supposed to be able to sit on 2 public boards at the same time, but somehow she was allowed to do that. Whatever. Anyway, so she's running. Then we've got Menlo Park City Councilman Ray Moeller, who we discussed on our January 29th, 2021 show, if you want to go listen to that podcast. Here's the thing. You might want to go check out his website to see if it's just me I went to his website. I was immediately turned off. Like, if not for this show and doing research, I would have been gone from that website in a second for
really?
These two reasons. Go to the website. It's like, it's a full-on picture. Like, the whole screen is a picture. Close-up of him in kind of a GQ-y type pose.
No.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Right.
Yuck.
So, I did not like that. And then, immediately, a pop-up for his yard signs pops up and covers the whole screen, and you have to click and close it. So that was annoying to me. Two, strike two.
Who's
Ray.
His webmaster?
I don't know, but...
That's
so,
not good.
So, Ray says, I believe our brightest days are ahead of us. So really, he's, you know...
Getting deep.
Going out on a political limb there, yes. It's a pretty standard fare, you know, schools, affordable, safe communities, environment. He's got endorsements from sitting Board of Supervisors Dave Pine and Warren Slocum, also U.S. Representative Anna Eshoo, and Ray's looking good because he's got endorsements from notable co-signers Lenny Mendonca, who we mentioned earlier on the show, Dave, who is a member, who's part owner of the Coastside News Group, the owners of the local paper. Dave Olson, MCC member, Zoe Kirstein Tucker, who used to be on the Planning Commission, and April Vargas, who also has been involved in county politics for a long time. So those are some pretty significant endorsements for
is
Ray.
Mr. Horsley endorsing anyone yet?
Thank you for asking. So then the fourth candidate is San Carlos City Councilwoman Laura Palmer Lohan, and she seems to be getting some big play here. See, again, pretty standard fare, schools, affordable, safe communities, the environment. I did not, as a marketing person, her like little thing on her website is this slogan, Laura equals vision, leadership, and results.
Yeah, I'm not liking that
either. Yeah, so you hear my tone of voice there.
Yeah.
Like it's a little pat, I think. She's got an endorsement from Don Horsley.
Oh, okay.
And Carol Groom, who's also a sitting Board of Supervisor, as well as several other high-profile endorsements. So if I was to handicap this right now, it looks like Laura Palmer Lohan and Ray Mueller are the kind of the front runners, but... Of course, we'd love to see a co-signer.
Mr. Booker.
Yes. So
is anyone endorsing him yet?
Yes, actually. He is endorsed by David Canepa, who is the fifth sitting San Mateo County Board. So they've all kind of endorsed different... So David Canepa is endorsing Stephen Booker. Now, that's a nice segue because... Wow, I'm talking really fast, so this is great. We may actually have some time
to
take a breath. Yes. Here's an important thing. Okay, so we'll be voting for our District 3 supervisorial candidate. The primary is June 7th. These four candidates will be on the ballot, primary ballot on June 7th. If no candidate receives a majority of votes, the top two vote-getters from that election will go and be on the ballot in the November general election.
Oh.
Okay, so... So you need to figure out who you're going to vote for District 3 supervisor. Now, the interesting thing is three out of the five seats for County Board of Supervisors are open or going to be challenged this election. Carol Groom, who is in District 2, and Don Horsley in District 3 are terming out. They cannot run. David Canepa, District 5 up in Pacifica, is running for Congress. He's running for the 14th district to replace one of my favorites, Jackie Speer. He's been on the Board of Supervisors since 2016. He's running as a Democrat. He's got some tough competition. State Assembly member Kevin Mullen, who I associate with the crosswalk in Moss Beach, and Burlingame Councilwoman Emily Bleach will be... are in the race against them. Those are some heavy hitters. That's going to be kind of a slugfest of a election, and it's a pretty important seat in Congress and a legacy Jackie Speer seat. So he's running for Congress. That's three seats. That's the majority of the Board of Supervisors. So the whole direction of the county could turn over this election. And so when the saying all politics is local, well, your District 3 Board of Supervisors supervisor or representative is the most powerful local politician, at least for the Midcoast. In Half Moon Bay, City of Half Moon Bay, you've got city council members who have budget and policy authority, and so they can do stuff. So not, maybe not as powerful in the City of Half Moon Bay, but on the Midcoast, this is the person, your District 3 supervisor. So it'd be pretty important to have, it'd be nice if the Midcoast Community Council had a candidate forum.
Mm-hmm.
And I participated in candidate forums at the MCC before, and thank goodness they do them, because really, there's, without the MCC candidate forums, you may never get to have a ask a question or see directly or even meet some of these candidates that are running for office, even local offices like Granada Community Services District or MCC or Cabrillo Unified School Board. Anyway, so thank you to the MCC for doing that. Oh, and we've got a phone call. You are live on the air with Coastal Windage. This is Ruben and Livy. Who are we speaking with this morning?
Fran Pollard. You're finally speaking one of my issues.
Okay, oh, Fran. One of your issues. Okay, Fran, give it to us.
The history.
Yes.
Well, why aren't you running for supervisor?
There we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Ruben.
I don't think I can pass the IRS review of my finances. I'm a little bit of a sketchy character, Fran. I think you and I have run into each other in the real world, and you know I'm not to be trusted.
No, you're so involved in everything, you'd be good here.
He was.
And I just wanted to let you know that when Dean Fassler was running, was on the board, we had an El Granadan on the board also.
Oh, really?
Fred Lyon. He was an attorney. And it was with them. I think they were on the board at the same time, back in the late 70s, early 80s. And they helped pass our community plan that I worked on 50 years ago.
Well, Fran, I mean, this is why I love community radio station, and I know that you listen. I love that you called in, because I didn't even know, like, how to search for, like, how would you identify a Coastsider in all the history of the Board of Supervisors. And I kind of hoped that there would be someone who has, you know, some vision of the history of the area longer than I've been here, who would call in and say there actually was a person. So Fred Lyons from El Granada was on the Board of Supervisors. Oh, Fran, that made my day right there.
Yay.
Good work.
And he helped. There were five great members at the time, and they helped pass the community plan, which was the whole idea was to keep our little communities here on the coastside small, semi-rural areas, rather than, you know, joining. Well, at the time there was a proposal. See, one of these days we got to go through all this, but. There was a proposal, I don't know how many people know this, to build this coastside up to 200,000 people.
Yes.
With a swing freeway.
Yep.
Where, well, who knows where it was going to be, whether they were going to widen the current highway or put it in the hills or whatever, you know, destroy up the community.
I mean, this is, if people want to go, I believe it was the 1965 community plan for the coastside, which if you look at this map, you will be blown away. As Fran said, like, for tens if not hundreds of thousands of people wonder, like, why does Highway 380 just kind of like end? Because it was originally going to come over the hill and into the coastside.
Really?
Yes. As Fran said, there was going to be a big, like, multi-lane interstate going up and down the coastside. They had plans for, like,
And it was going to go over Montero Mountain.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was going to be 380. Okay.
Yeah,
I remember that now.
Community plan from 1965. If the
wow.
No, the community plan was adopted in 1978. We worked on it from about 72 to 78. So 5 to 6 years we worked on it.
Yeah, this one
to develop every aspect of it.
Right, the 65 plan never got enacted, but I've seen documents where they had, like, I don't know, a couple of high schools out here and, like, roads
every
up the...
Commu- communities.
Yeah.
Each of our communities, Montera, Moss Beach, and El Granada, were each going to have their whole entire school system, from grammar school to high school, each community.
Right.
And,
wow.
Yeah. And I mean, it went on and on and on, and it took years and years and decades to stop it all. It wasn't like it just happened, oh, well, we went here, and I can't tell you how many times I had to appear in Redwood City at the Board of Supervisors just to get something accomplished.
Well, thank you for all of your work, Fran.
Right.
Yes, but now it's getting over. We're way beyond what the proposal at that time was. I think we weren't supposed to go over about 19,000 people to have a piece, you know, on the whole coast, that is. I think it included Half Moon Bay, but now I have to go back and research. But so we're way over that now, and of course we're proposing a lot more. So I don't know where it's all going to end, and a lot of new people here, and they don't realize what it took to. Everybody moves here because it's a small town and they like it, but then they want to have big city things all over the place. So
this is why I would love to have another local person have that District 3 seat. But
we definitely need a coastsider on there.
Yeah.
I have somebody good in mind if you don't want to do it. I haven't talked to him yet, so I don't want to say the name yet.
Okay, well, get on that campaign committee, Fran, because we need a coastsider. We need a coastsider.
I know. When is the deadline to file?
No. Since I'm not running, I don't know the details like that. But the primary is June 7th, so I imagine, like, if there is a deadline and it hasn't passed, it's coming up real soon.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call, Fran.
Wow, okay.
Good show today.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great nugget of history there. Because I did try to find someone. So Fred Lyons, I'm writing that down because now I want to go and look up Fred. So you know who else was on the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors around that time? Jackie Spear.
Oh, wow.
Yep, your girl, Jackie. Yep, she helped get San Bruno Mountain, keep that preserved and from being developed.
Hmm.
Okay, so, wow. I don't know how we did it, but we actually got the whole show in. Oh, wait. We just got an email just came in. Hold on. Usually we don't have time to read emails that come in during the show. And probably I should have just quit while I was ahead.
You know, I was so happy out at 10.
But I'm sure it's a lovely email. Okay, this is from Sleepy Joe Butano. Okay, Sleepy Joe Butano about public meetings. All right. Nope, I should have quit while I was ahead.
Okay.
The only thing more boring than an MCC meeting is this show, Wake Me When It's Over. Well, guess what, Sleepy Joe? It's over.
It's over.
And it sounds like you're listening to the show, so it must not be that boring. Okay, well, that's a way to end on a high note. Thank you, as always. Sleepy Joe Butano, thank you for sleeping through the show. We're back next Friday, as we always are.
Yep.
Coastal Windage from 9 to 10 a.m. every Friday, right here on KHNB Radio, your community radio station. That's khnbradio.com, 1710 a.m., 100.9 FM. Libby, great to see you again this morning.
Good to see you.
See you next Friday.
Glad you made it back from Hollister.
Yeah. I got to go back next week, so stay tuned.
Okay.
All right.
You guys have a good weekend.
This has been Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.